I gotta be honest, this might not might be my best sermon. So if I go on too long, just like private message me and be like, hey, like wrap it up. I'm really glad I'm preaching on this passage. Normally I don't have any influence in the passage that I preach on, but this time I requested this passage when I was staying in a hotel in isolation for a week. I stayed there after my wife Debbie and our roommate Katya both got positive COVID results and I got a negative result. And I thought like, okay, well, just in case, maybe I've already had it, but just in case I haven't, like I should go into isolation. And while I was there, I got a migraine. And if you've ever had like a killer migraine, like migraines are like a special kind of pain. They're like excessive, really. It's like such a painful experience that it was kind of like a weirdly spiritual painful experience because it was like your head is throbbing. So it's like you're kind of like transcending normal consciousness or something. And I actually looked it up later and there's a patron saint of headaches who apparently had a lot of really painful headaches and wrote about her crown of thorns, as she called it. And so I kind of felt like I had a crown of thorns on my head that night. And kind of in resting to kind of recover from this migraine, I was just laying in bed, like awake, thinking, okay, I gotta find, you know, something to like focus on to just let myself fall asleep. I need to slow my mind down. My mind was too active. And so I just thought, okay, maybe I'll try like a chant in my head. And so I tried just saying, Lord Jesus, Son of God, draw near to me. And I repeated that multiple times and fell asleep. And when I woke up, I thought of this gospel passage of Jesus healing on the Sabbath. So with that, I'll start my sermon. The story of Jesus healing on the Sabbath is one of the most well-attested stories of Jesus in all of the gospels. There is at least one story like it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And that tells us something about how the people at the time viewed Jesus and what was especially significant to them about Jesus. And when I think of how these documents might have been compiled, and I imagine how difficult it would have been to discern what to include and what not to include among the stories that people were circulating about Jesus at the time, it strikes me that this story comes up as much as it does. It's almost like the gospel writers who were essentially anthologizing and writing the story of the Jesus movement, especially wanted us to know about the occasions when Jesus healed on the Sabbath. It seems to be a highlight of his career, so to speak. So what is significant about the fact that Jesus healed on the Sabbath? Well, in the Gospel of Mark, this episode shows up immediately after Jesus makes the infamous statement, or famous statement, however you look at it. The Sabbath was made for humankind, not humankind for the Sabbath. And then we get this story about him healing on the Sabbath, the man with the withered hand. And in the second century, a little after Jesus, there was a Palestinian rabbi who made a similar statement. Rabbi Simeon ben Manasseh read Exodus 31:14, which says, "You shall keep the Sabbath because it is holy to you," and said, "The words 'to you' imply that the Sabbath is given to you and that you are not given to the Sabbath." So the Sabbath is supposed to be understood as a gift. And Jesus's statement is in keeping with the teaching of Exodus that the Sabbath is holy to those who practice it. Humans should follow the Sabbath, Jesus contests, because it is good for humans. So don't sacrifice human well-being on the altar of Sabbath observance. Sabbath observance was made for human well-being. Now, you'd think this principle would be obvious by now, 2021. You'd think the church would have learned this lesson by now. But continually we choose religion and ordinance and law, and we sacrifice care for human beings. And I'm going to get a little soapboxy, but I do kind of have a bone to pick. So I'm going to say my piece. Instead of looking out for the vulnerable and seeking the common good by encouraging safety precautions and assisting to stop the spread of a lethal virus, there are actually churches in this country who have chosen to defy consideration and insist on going to church every Sunday, no matter the cost. There are pastors who have actively encouraged their congregations not to wear masks and have gathered them indoors for service after service, singing and all, for months, while every day thousands of people have died. There's a cat having fun on our kitchen counter in there. Naughty little Buster. Okay. So every day thousands of people are dying, and yet this is what the pastors are doing. Over 500,000 Americans have died now. And instead of mourning, in these churches, we see a desperate attempt to maintain a status quo. Now, I hate to rag on people, but we are the church, and we have to reckon with the fact that there are Christians in this country killing people in the name of Jesus. Now, in the Gospel of Matthew, when Jesus heals a man with a shriveled hand, he quotes Hosea 6:6, "I desire mercy, not sacrifice." And he says, if you had known what these words mean, you would not have condemned the innocent. It's as if he's saying, you're telling me I can't help this poor man because it's the Sabbath? I can't bless somebody on the Sabbath? The Sabbath is supposed to be a blessing, and yet I can't bless somebody on the Sabbath. So Jesus is signaling that his ministry is concerned with the well-being of humans. Again and again, he demonstrated that he would defy convention if it meant taking care of people. Adapt if you have to, but help people. Be a blessing to others. Be a Sabbath for other people. As opposed to refusing to help when we can, dismissing the needs of others, insisting on self-importance, Jesus asks, is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath? Should I help the man or should I harm him by refusing to help when I can? And I love that question. Like, can I do something good on the Sabbath? Like, is that okay? Can I do a good deed? Do I have your permission? So today, if you're telling me that we shouldn't take care of people because it's Sunday and we have to go to church on Sunday, then I'm sorry, but you are just not what Jesus was about. If there's a pandemic, Jesus is not the one insisting on his right to do whatever he wants. Jesus is the one looking out for the vulnerable and acting in consideration of those who are sick. There are literally stories of Jesus in the midst of sick people curing their diseases. So he cared that when people were sick, and he cared when people were in need, and he cared when people were dying, and when people were suffering from deprivation and poverty. But churches today are out there trying to pretend like it's not even happening and trying to maintain as much normality as they can arrange. And through their choices, they have in turn exacerbated an already catastrophic situation and have contributed to the incredible losses humanity has incurred. End of soapbox, but not the end of the sermon. Now, another highlight from Jesus's ministry that all the Gospels include is that Jesus preached about the kingdom of God. He came on the scene as a follower of John the Baptist, preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And Jesus had a profound sense of the gravity of his time. He says in Luke chapter 9, "Truly, I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God." And then later in chapter 17, he says, the kingdom of God is not coming with things that can be observed. nor will they say, look, here it is, or there it is. For in fact, the kingdom of God is among you. So he says both. He says the kingdom is coming and people are going to see it. And also the kingdom is intangible and you can't really point to it. And I think one of the lessons to be learned is that the kingdom is always coming, that it is always time to repent. Someone may come up to you and ask you for help, and you're going to have to find a way to respond. A virus is going to find its way into your country, and you are going to have to learn what it is you need to do to help keep people safe. So we're kind of always living in an apocalypse when we're experiencing a time, especially when we're experiencing a time of catastrophic events, when major shifts are occurring all over the world. And with these shifts, deep questions are being presented to us on an almost daily basis. What do you choose, life or death? Principle or people? Will you love your neighbor as yourself? Or will you walk on by and ignore the sufferers along the road? So in our time, it's somewhat easy for us to understand that the question, will you love your neighbor as yourself, is an apocalyptic one. Because this pandemic has demonstrated that whether you care for your neighbor does not just come down to an inconsequential personal preference. Whether we care for our neighbors is the difference between abundant life and mass death. Now, Jesus said, I came that you may have life, and life abundantly. So Jesus came to bring life, not make 500,000 people dead. He encouraged people to be life-giving and merciful, not self-important and inconsiderate. And the measure of righteousness is not how stubbornly you can stick to your conventions, but quite the opposite. Jesus shows us that the measure of righteousness is how sincerely and consistently one devotes oneself to those who are in need. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, we share the sermon at St. Lydia's, so after a brief time of silence, we will open it up for you to share a story or experience that was sparked by the text or the sermon. And we try to share stories and not opinions or engage in crosstalk, because we find that is better. But some, obviously, we do tolerate some soapboxing. So we'll begin in silence.